And every once in a while, during the worship service, we ought to just really worship the Lord for who he is. Amen. We are in the process, and we talk about this here in the days ahead, of working on getting projectors in here and screens up here. And that's a costly thing, so we talk about that and doing that. But one of the great benefits of doing that is put these things down, right? Isn't it good? Are your hands free right now? Do you have your hands free? Are you holding your Bible? Put your Bible down. Put your Bible down. Put your Bible down. Every once in a while, it's just good to praise the Lord. Amen. Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. And so I'm glad about that. Now, until we get them up, maybe y'all take them bulletins home and memorize them songs, right? All right. Now, some of them are pretty easy. Watch this now. Everybody say, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. All right, you got the chorus down. All right? Because every once in a while, when you know, choir sings, I lift my hands in total praise. Every once in a while, you know, your body connects with your heart, you know. And sometimes we have to let God know that we're not just saying it with our mouth and then our body and our mind is somewhere else. Aren't you glad? How many of you really believe with all of you, his strength is perfect? Amen. Let's give God the praise for being in his house today. What a joy it is to be here with you. Praise the Lord. I echo the sentiments that have been given already by way of announcements. We welcome all of our new members here at Crossroads Baptist Church, and we're glad you're a part. If you joined Crossroads Baptist Church last Sunday, would you stand up? Stand up. You joined last week. Derek, you know you joined. The pain's there. Folks over there, glory to God. Glory to God. We're glad about it. Welcome to all of them. Welcome. Thank you so much. Derek's up there doing the happy dance. Yes. Amen, Derek. We appreciate it. Amen. And we're excited about that. Great. How many of you believe the best is yet to come? And we want you to be dialed in all the way. What the young people say, all the way live. All right, we want you to be dialed in to what God is doing. This could be the last generation alive before Jesus comes. Let's go out with a bang. Amen. Determined by the grace of God to live for him. We certainly appreciate everyone that's here. And Deanna, good to have you. Deanna grew up in this church, came through our youth group, and we recognized you yesterday. We're glad you're here in the building. We appreciate you. Thank God for Deanna, Denise, their entire family. Certainly meant a lot to us over the years. And then I look up on the balcony. I could see Miss Pat. Miss Pat, we're glad you're back. You've been battling and fighting. What mountain but God? Let's give her a hand. We're glad you're back in church today. Oh, joy. Glory, glory, glory. The devil's not winning. Amen. He's working, but he ain't winning, all right? And sometimes we have to spend less time talking about what he's doing and more time talking about what God is doing. I promise you, God's doing more than the devil's doing, and we thank him for it. Daniel chapter 6, would you go there with me in the Word of God? Daniel chapter 6. Now help us when service is over, especially on special days like this. How many know around here we have a parking problem? Would you raise your hand? You know that, all right? And so help us when service is over, to, particularly on those big days, we have guests here. We want to make sure that they get out and we don't block them in. So we're hopeful that one day we can alleviate that. In the time being, we got to do the best we can, right? And we're trusting that we can do the best we can what we got so that God will give us more. Daniel chapter 6, I want to give us an encouraging thought about that one we're singing about. Aren't you glad he's our friend? Amen. Amen. He's a good, good father. Everybody say good, good. Amen. Not just good. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. All right, Daniel chapter number 6. We're getting to the good part. Now I want you to pick up, last time we were reading, let's pick up verse number 20. And when the king came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, sorrowful voice, unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God, everybody say, my God, hath sent his angel. All right, Derek, there he is. And have shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. It is already blessed. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me preach with us, saith the Lord. We love you. We thank you for being God. We bless your holy name. For somebody that's not saved, might today that one get saved and get into a friendship with God. Thank you for being such a faithful God. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've entitled this, Keep Your Windows Open. Say it with me, keep your windows open. Watch this now, say it again, keep your windows open. Here it is. Don't be embarrassed by living for God. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. I tell you what, people aren't ashamed to be speaking profanity. People aren't ashamed to be living in immorality. People aren't ashamed to get drunk. People aren't ashamed to post things that mock God. Why in the world should we be ashamed to live for God? You shouldn't be ashamed to pray. You shouldn't be ashamed to carry your Bible. You shouldn't be ashamed to tell people about Jesus. You shouldn't be ashamed to be pure. You shouldn't be ashamed that you're waiting on God's choice until you get married. Listen to me. There's nothing that's right that you should be ashamed of. That's what the story is about, keeping your windows open. We're in the middle of a series in Daniel talking about the clash between culture and Christianity. I feel like every week that we leave church and come back the next, the clash has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Raise your hand if you watch the news. Raise your hand if you look at the internet. Raise your hand if you go out into the public. Listen to me. We see that clash so strong. Culture is becoming more and more opposed to God. It's vulgar. It's profane. It's insensitive. It's demeaning. It's immoral. It's full of idolatry. And this is the world that God has left us in. Not unlike Daniel. He was placed in this culture. It was not a mistake of God. It was not an oversight. God didn't mess up. God did not fail to do his due diligence when it came to what Babylon would be. God knew how wicked Babylon was when he allowed those children in chapter number 1, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to be stripped from their home and brought to that culture. He knew what it was when he let Daniel be there. He knew what would happen. He knew about the meat and the wine. He knew about the king's dream that would be forgotten. He knew about the great image that would be set up and that everyone would be commanded to bow down to it. He knew about the fiery furnace. He knew it would be turned up 7 times hotter. He knew it was a fire that killed people. He knew that those fellows were not going to bow. He knew that Babylon was dark, but God also knew that dark places need some light. Would somebody say amen? Ladies and gentlemen, he knows about this culture. He knows what's happening on your job. He knows what's happening in your schools. He knows what the attack is on your marriage. He knows how the devil wants our children. He knows how people can get distracted from the things of God. He knows how greed and filthy lucre are causing people to move away from the faith. He knows the attack on this Bible. He knows what's happening by way of immorality. He knows what's happening by the way of drugs and bigotry. He knows what's happening in politics. He knows what laws are being legislated. But God knows that the United States of America, more than another political leader, more than dropping inflation, more than better real estate, more than better education, the United States of America in its dark state needs some light. And ladies and gentlemen, ye are the light of the world. So here's Daniel in the middle of all this. With an elevated position, he finds himself the subject of an envious plot. Now watch this now. The more God takes you up, the more others will want to take you down. Let me say that again. The more that God takes you up, the more others will take you down. Here's what you got to realize. They can't take you down unless you take your eyes off God. promotion cometh not for the east or the west or the south. God is the judge. He setteth up one and taketh down another. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He moveth it whithersoever he will. How many of you believe what God has for you is for you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen to me. I believe these passages of scripture. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. All things work together for good. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yea, the promises of God are yea and amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. These are not statements that I read out of a fortune cookie. These are not quotes from a Maya Angelou book. These are not things that we say to motivate people into believing something that's not true. These are timeless, eternal, unchangeable, immutable passages from the precious word of God. The grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of God shall endure forever. How many of you believe the Bible? Stand on the principles of the word of God. Now listen, everything in the Bible is true. Y'all, you think that was a trick statement? Now, sometimes y'all get quiet because you want to hear me. Other times you get quiet for no reason. Now, let's try this again. If I'm throwing a pitch right over home plate that you should knock out the park, here it is. Everything in the Bible is true. Everything. Everything. Everything, everything, not one jot, one tittle is going to be removed from the word of God. It's going to last forever. It's tried through the fire. Listen to me. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19, is perfect, converting the soul. Listen to me. In an imperfect world, we need a perfect word. Thank God that the Bible is true. You've heard me say 1,000 times. People tried to knock out the Bible. They tried to kill the Bible. They're dead. The Bible still lives. So we thank God for the precious word of God. Everything in the Bible is true. But a great deal in the Bible is conditional. That's okay to get quiet there. I want you to think about that. There's a great deal in the Bible that's conditional. I was driving in the car this morning to go pick up a chocolate cake. Somebody say amen. And I saw somebody standing outside the road, and they were holding up signs. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me. There is no condition on that verse applying to you. If you are born and alive, John 3:16 applies to you. For God so loved the world. Now, I know there's a wave of theology that's sweeping across our world, and I would never question the motives of these people. But there are many that believe that God has ordained that only some get saved and that some go to hell, and he picked and chose who could get saved, and not everybody can be saved. I don't espouse to that. I believe that when John 3:16 is in the Bible, it literally means what it said. For God so loved the world, that's everybody, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, everybody say whosoever, doesn't matter who you are. Listen to me. There are some places you can't go if you don't have a credit score. That fits them. There are some places you can't get a job at if your criminal background doesn't allow you. There are some places you can't get into if you're not the right color. Come on now. There are some places you can't get into if you're not the right age. Listen, if you're too young, you can't get in. Some places, if you're too old, you can't get in. There are some things you can't do because you're a certain age. There are some things you can't do yet because you're not a certain age. Those are all conditions. But I'm telling you, to go to heaven, there are no human conditions on you simply because somebody already met them for you. Come on now. When Jesus died, amen, he wrote the check for my salvation. And when he rose again, the check cleared the bank. Amen. No conditions. But listen to me. There are conditions for the Christian. And today we're going to look at a man in an elevated position with an envious plot on him and an evil plan against him that had enduring practices. In other words, people were hating on Daniel, but the haters didn't bring him down because he had some principles that kept him up. If you're one of these people that say, I got destroyed by my haters, you're not really telling the truth. You got destroyed by your lack of principles. The executed punishment is that he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. The extreme perplexity is that there's a king who threw him in there that really doesn't want him to die. I'm always amazed in scriptures. I read through the Word of God every year a couple times. I'm always amazed in scripture at how many people that are put in a position where they have to hurt Christian people really don't want to hurt them. Pilate washed his hands of it. I find no fault in him. He got pushed into a corner and didn't have enough guts to stand up for what's right. Potiphar, we think, oh, mean Potiphar threw Joseph in prison. Listen to me. If Potiphar believed that Joseph made a move at his wife, he wouldn't have thrown him in prison. He would have killed him. Potiphar knew that man was innocent, but he didn't want to face that wife. Put your hand up if you know what Potiphar was talking about. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When you're not in Christ, come on now. When you're not in Christ, you are in confusion. I said, when you're not in Christ, you're in confusion. That's why the world can't figure out what they want to do. And that's why we're caught up in the middle of all this nonsense and confusion by way of gender and idolatry and what people are supposed to be doing and where they're supposed to be going and what a church is supposed to do and what a family is supposed to do and what the government. Nobody can stay in their own lane because Jesus is what gives you identity. Do you hear me now? Jesus, get all the money in the world. You don't know Jesus, you won't know what to do with it. That's right. Child, amen. Praise the Lord. So we saw a couple weeks ago that Darius got tricked into signing a decree to not allow anyone to pray to anybody but him for 30 days. Remember I told you habits are established in what? 30 days. You're going to break them too in 30 days. So if you could get Daniel to stop praying for 30 days, chances are his prayer habit is over. Have you been creating some good habits? Have you been eliminating some bad ones? You're going to have to sustain the choice for 30 days. So he sets this decree. And of course, he doesn't realize why they're doing it, but they do. And eventually, they catch Daniel praying because that's why they set up the plot. He throws them into the lion's den. I want to make a note, as I told you a couple weeks ago, these lions were hungry. Now, today I want to go beyond the extreme perplexity of what I call an everlasting protector. Could everybody say those two words? An everlasting protector. Now, look here, Christian. Look at me. The world's too crazy. The flesh is too wicked. The devil is too sneaky for us to be trying to live in this world without a protector. Now, here's the thing. I don't just need a protector. I need an everlasting protector. You can't handle hungry lions. You can't beat a wicked devil. You are not stronger than your ungodly flesh. You are not bigger than the obstacles in your life. Goliath is bigger than you. The fiery furnace is hot enough to burn you. The lions are hungry enough to eat you. Listen to me. You can work out all you want to. You can talk about all your talents all you want to. I can try to relish in all my gifts and abilities all I want to. I can be saved as long as I want to. That is not going to keep me from lions eating me. Listen to me. Greater than you and I, more godly than you and I, people who have done more than you and I will ever do, have been eaten up by the lions. It never had anything to do with them. It has everything to do with him. Now, here's the question. Do you have enough in you before the lion's den to warrant the everlasting protector to protect you in the lion's den? See, you got to be gold before you go in the fire if you're going to come forth as gold. You got to be walking with God before you go in the fiery furnace if he's going to walk with you through the fire. And you got to have a good reason to get thrown into the lion's den if you want the protector to guard you while you're in it. I want to preach to everybody in the building this morning who's not surrounded by lions. Start doing right now, not when the lions come. I want to talk to everybody who feels like the lions are circling you. Remember, we look at the Bible, and sometimes we look at the Bible through the lens of cartoon depictions that we've watched as kids. They're not very vivid. I want you to imagine. Have you ever seen at a circus one of those lion tamers in that cage with one lion? Have you ever been to the zoo and watched those lions circle? Or have you watched on TV those animals out in the wild, how a lion preys on them? How many of you watch some of that on Animal Planet? You watch that. Now, I want you to imagine a man tossed in a den of lions. Now, go back to our text. I want you to notice, first of all, when the king cries with a lamentable voice, in other words, oh no, what have I done? I've signed this decree. I've thrown Daniel in. I like Daniel. I respect Daniel. I don't want to get rid of Daniel. I want Daniel to survive. He's been talking about his God. I hope his God is right. And notice he cries out, Daniel, oh Daniel, servant of the living God. Aren't you glad that there are some Christians who not only claim they serve God, but there are Christians who serve God so much that lost people say they serve God? Whom thou servest, how often? Continually. Here's what he's asking him. Is thy God able to deliver thee? Here's what I want you to get in verse number 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, yes, he is. That's not what he said. Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, oh yeah, I told y'all not to mess with me. You shouldn't have never thrown me in the fire. You shouldn't have thrown me in the lion's den. You knew I was a good man. That's why you put me in charge. I told you God was good. Now how you like it? Is that what he says in verse 20? Then said Daniel, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is that what it says in verse 20? Ain't nothing wrong with hallelujah, but he's going to get there, but he ain't there yet. First thing he said in verse 21. O king, live forever. Write down spiritual instinct. This was a term of respect. This was how you greeted someone that was a ruler. O king, live forever. In other words, I wish well on you, O ruler. By the way, it's not hard to wish well on people till they throw you in the lion's den. I wrote this down in my notes. And I want you to hear this. If you don't get anything out of it, sometimes you don't get but one thing out of the whole sermon, and you're trying to pick which one, here, get this one. No matter how bad people do you, don't let the way they do you make you become bitter. And by the way, you will have supposedly well-intentioned Christians that will surround you and pump you up into getting bitter. I don't know why you ain't mad. I don't know why you let nobody do you that way. I don't know why you don't lash back. I don't know why you sit back there and just let it keep going up. Let me tell you something. Don't let them well-intentioned so-called advisors mess you up from your blessing. Don't let people force you to respond to them the way they treated you. Daniel already knows God's delivered him. He's been walking around in the lion's den and the lion won't bite him. I'm telling you, the average Christian would have greeted Darius like this. Don't ask me if God delivered me. Don't talk to me. You just threw me in the lion's den. Let me tell you something. That's not the mind of Christ. That's the flesh. And you know why y'all saying amen? Because you know it's what wants to come out. Lash back. You threw me in the line. Hey, oh, Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee? You know, most don't act like you for me now. Don't act like you wishing me well. Watch this now. If you really loved me, you would have never thrown. Come on now, that's how we talk. It's not your job to get vengeance. I'm going to tell you, we have got to learn how to develop spiritual instincts and stop excusing our fleshly instincts for our personality. If you don't say amen, I'll spend 30 minutes on this point. Thank you. Stop excusing what we do. Well, that's how I am. That's how I like. No. God didn't save you to be how you are. He saved you to be how he is. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And by the way, well, I'm just not used to learning instincts. That's not the way I go. Let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't used to being spat upon. Jesus wasn't used to having his beard plucked out. Jesus wasn't used to people that he saved betraying him. Jesus was, I'm talking about saved from the world. Obviously, Judas wasn't truly saved because he's called the man of perdition. But he had certainly delivered him from the opportunity of the devil having him, and he turned it down. Jesus was not used to walking around the world and getting laughed at and getting stoned and getting mistreated. Let me tell you something. When he came to heaven, the Bible says he learned obedience. Have you read your Bible? He intentionally employed a thinking that was contrary to his natural instinct. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why the flesh has to die. I said, that's why the flesh has to die. He's in the thick of his trial, and yet God is speaking through him. You want to find out whether you walk with God? How are you talking in the thick of your trial? Everybody share a testimony after they're out of it. I just want to give God the glory. I just want to praise. Church, I have to tell you, I got something to say today. I got something to say, God. You weren't doing that when the lions were circling. God, where are you? Nobody love me. I'm tired of this. Listen, you're not a good Christian because you shout when it's over. You're a Christian because you shout while it's going on. And maybe your refusal to shout is prolonging your time in the den. Oh, well, you know, Pastor, that sounds a little extra biblical. I know you're always looking for some proof text. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the earth started to quake. Let me tell you something. Listen, it was praise that got them locked up. It was praise that sustained them while they were locked up. And it was praise that enacted an earthquake that got them unlocked. Let me tell you something now. You got to praise God to get your haters. You got to praise God while they're hating. You got to praise God to get your haters off of you. You got to praise no matter what. Spirit. How many spiritual instincts do you have, Christian? We all know. This is all family, right? And for the rest of y'all, act like y'all family, all right? Because we love all of you. And all of you tuning in, I'm talking to you at home. Practice stuff you're not good at. There's no need to practice stuff you're already an expert at. Being carnal, you're an expert. You don't have to practice your fleshly instincts. They come natural. You better exercise. You want another proof text? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know when you finish exercising while your muscles hurt? Because they ain't used to being worked that way. We need to start working some spiritual muscles that aren't used to being worked that way. And here's one of them. Spiritual instincts. Speaking well to people who have done us wrong. Preach, Pastor. Now, the spiritual instinct. Notice next. The supernatural intervention. My God sent his angel. My God sent his angel. Breaker 1-9 over here. This is Jehovah speaking. Angel, I want you to go down to the province of Babylon. There in that place, a well-intentioned, ignorant man by the name of Darius has been tricked by prideful, evil people who want to destroy one of my servants. Angel, I want you to go to that lion's den, and I want you to shut the mouths of those lions. Do you understand me? Aye, Captain. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't you want to live enough for God that in heaven there are angels that are being designated? Come on now. That are being deputized, that are being commissioned, that are being sent. Let me tell you something. Even when you get abducted spiritually, even when you get kidnapped, handcuffed, and with a blindfold on you, and even when your haters take you to spots where you wake up and don't even realize where you are, let me tell you something. God doesn't need the FBI. God doesn't need the Secret Service. God doesn't need the U.S. Marshals. God doesn't need unsolved mysteries. God knows where you are. Let me tell you something. When God saved you, you thought the Holy Spirit was just in there to seal you. Let me tell you something. You know what the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is a tracker. Somebody say amen. He's a tracker inside of you. And you with the Holy Spirit inside of you are always on the radar of God. And aren't you glad that God can find you in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your difficulty, in the middle of your lion's den, and send a lion, and send an angel. And by the way, he could send up 10,000 angels. He could have sent a legion of angels. And sometimes, listen to them, a multitude of the angels of the heavenly host saying, praise God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Listen to me. Can you imagine how many angels lit up the sky when they announced the birth of Jesus? But sometimes you don't need but one angel. One angel destroyed 185,000 people on the behalf of Hezekiah. So listen to me. Don't knock just with one angel. Don't be looking at God like you only sent one. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Don't worry about who he sent. Just make sure that you're the who he should have sent it for. Are you walking with God? He sent his angel. Now he's testifying after he's been respectful first. You're never going to win your boss to the Lord if you're disrespectful. You're never going to win your unsaved husband to the Lord if you're disrespectful. You're never going to win your unsaved wife to the Lord if you're disrespectful, Christian. You're never going to win your coworkers to the Lord if you're not going to treat them with love and respect. When they don't live for God, you own respect because they were made by God in his image. At least the first ones were. They messed up. Supernatural intervention. What a miracle. Listen, while you're still in the lion's den enjoying the deliverance, testify. Now Nathaniel was singing a little bit ago. If you be, what's the middle phrase? Before you say testify, if you believe it, if you believe it, if you receive it, if you feel it. Okay, thank you. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, and then you said somebody testify. Some of y'all didn't testify. This is, we come to worship. We come to worship. Listen, if you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it. Somebody say, well, Christianity is not about feelings. You're not saved because you feel saved. That's true, but if you're saved, you ought to feel something. I'm not saved because I feel, but when I got saved, I'm glad there was something I felt. I don't always feel saved, but the fact is I am saved, and there's a lot of good feelings that come with it. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Now listen, you have been delivered from too many lions to keep your mouth shut. And listen, don't try me with all this. We got masks so you can't hear us. Let's just see if we can hear each other. On the count of three, everybody say amen. One, two, three. That's Derek. Derek is deaf. And Derek loves the Lord. And Derek testifies. And if anybody's got a problem with Derek, you got a problem with me, all right? So if everybody's listening, say, what are you yelling about? He's an example to all of us that can hear. Amen. 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 And listen, I'm telling you, we're living in a world today that needs to hear the people of God that haven't been eaten by lions testify. Amen. God, if God has sustained your marriage, you ought to testify. If God has paid your bills, you ought to testify. If God has kept you alive, you ought to testify. If God has been good to you, you ought to testify. Replace your complaints and your whining and your bitterness and your lying with testifying. He's been too good to us not to testify. He's been too good to this church. Amen. One more. Spiritual instinct. Supernatural intervention. Write this down. Substantiated innocence. I want to give you this and I'm done. Substantiated innocence. Listen to Daniel talk. My God has sent his angel. Has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. Don't miss all of the words in the Bible. Shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. Oh, pray for me. I'm a Christian. I'm going through it. I'm just getting beat all up and wounded all up. Wounded. No, you're not. God is protecting you. Don't pump it up. I'm not saying that trials are easy. I'm not saying that they're not tough. But let me tell you something. It's of his mercies that we're not consumed. You're talking about, I just feel like I'm going through it. Imagine if the lion's mouths were open. You about to keel over with closed mouths. Come on now, Christian. The worst day we have in Christ is better than the best day without him. They didn't hurt me. They didn't hurt me. Now notice what he said. For as much. Everybody say that word. For as much. This is really just a big word for saying because. Because before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now Daniel's humbly speaking to the king. And if he were saying it in 2022, he'd have said it something like this. I told you I wasn't doing nothing wrong. I told you I was going to pray. When you hired me, you knew I walked with God. When you threw me in the lion's den, you knew I was not going to change. Now, if you didn't believe me before, how you like me now? Here's what Daniel's saying. The shut mouths of the lions are proof that doing right pays off. You better stop letting people determine your validation. You better start letting God's word determine your validation. Here's what happens. People do right when it seems to be no price. And then here comes the tough part. Pressure. Everybody say pressure. If you're a Christian in 2022, you're not living under pressure. Mark my words, you are not a good Christian. It is impossible to live in this world and not live under pressure. Because they don't agree with us. So you're going to have to go out there and just be ready to get pressured. Okay? I mean, Genesis chapter 3, wasn't even no human beings on the earth but the two. And they were under pressure. Okay, so if the people aren't going to pressure you, Satan's going to pressure you himself. But what happens is people get pressured and then they quit. You know what the pandemic's proven? That some Christian folk can't take pressure. We're going to find out how good of Christians we are when we start going back to church more. Don't get quiet. Pastor, I thought this was an eternal decree. I'm enjoying myself. That's the problem. It's not just not coming to services that people have stopped doing. That's stuff we couldn't control. There's a whole lot of them not reading their Bibles, not praying, not tithing. Well, there they go talking about money. You want scripture text? Study the teachings of Jesus. He preached more on money than he did heaven. You know why? Because he knew if he had your heart, he wouldn't have a problem getting your money. And he's pretty generous to only demand 10%. See, how in the world can you expect your protector to shut the mouths of those that come after you financially if you weren't honoring him financially? So here comes pressure, and people go, I can't do this Christian stuff anymore. I just don't. It's too hard. It's too tough. It's, after all, it's not popular. When was Christianity ever popular? But it's right. Here's the thing. You do it long enough, the protector shows up. And Daniel says, and I like this, innocence was found in me and thee. What a comfort that must have been for Darius. Not only did God show that I was right, but God even knew your heart, Darius. You threw me in here, but you didn't want to. See, to whom much is given, much shall be required. God expected more out of Daniel than he did Darius. But God honored Darius because Darius did as good as he could based on what he knew. Do you realize something? Even though you may not do as well as other people, God will honor you if your motives are sincere. Listen. One of the things we got to quit doing in Christian circles is judging people and condemning people that don't do the things we do just because they don't do it how we do it. God's looking at their hearts. Now, don't say amen so loud that that means you can just go out and sin. Okay, that's not optional. But sometimes we got to learn how to have grace with folk. And Daniel had enough grace with the man that could have been the cause of his demise and said, King, that angel that just showed up, he didn't just validate me. He validated you. Listen, you Christian, at this level in your Christianity, if you'll live for God in the right way, you're helping to stimulate and increase the faith of other Christians that are way below you. It's all a process. You can't afford to fail up here when people are looking up to you, because they're never going to get here until you can show them the example when they're there. And Darius is screaming down there, scared to death. You know why he couldn't sleep? Because he knew he had just thrown an innocent man in the lion's den. But what God wanted to show him is that God knew that that's not what he intended to do. He knew people tricked him. He knew people lied on him. Listen to me. There's some of you that are sitting in the building today. You can't get past something that's gone wrong in your life, something that's messed up. Listen, you came out of a relationship. Somebody hurt you. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody did you wrong. And now you don't think you're good enough for anybody. There's a God who's a good, good father who knows you were manipulated, you were lied on, you were cheated, you were done wrong, and he's going to validate. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But God always validates sincerity. You're never going to be able to live this Christian life sinless, but you can live the Christian life sincere. And I learned this from my dad, as a pastor. You're never going to do everything right, but don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a phony. Don't be fake. So if you want to be Daniel today, go ahead with your bad self. But maybe some people in the building are Darius. You've done some things in your life that weren't the best things to do. But you did them in ignorance. You were tricked. You were deceived. You didn't intentionally hurt people. Can I tell you something? God's mercy is so far-reaching that he not only validates people who do right, He validates the motives of people who do wrong when they didn't know better. Why? So that now that you do know better, you'll do right. Don't take advantage of God's mercy. Thank Him for it. Praise Him for it. And let it be a testimony that no matter what, no matter where, no matter who, no matter when, it always pays to do right. Our Father, we thank You for the Bible.